Right. Well, good morning, everybody. And just going back over this past quite momentous week, really, in terms of what's been happening in financial markets and the economies. Looking first at the US, the story in the US was they're still getting plenty of data which suggests their economy is still quite robust. This is before I get on to what the Fed did at its meeting. But if we're looking at things like factory orders, for example, you know, the most recent monthly reading they've got for March was double market expectations. It was up 2.2% compared to 1.1%. They had their latest ISM manufacturing PMI came out, and also the non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMI still holding up there in the mid-50s, 55.4. That is down from 57.1, but it's only slowly receding. Similarly so for the ISM Services Purchasing Managers Index. Back in March, that was at 58.3. Was expected to hold around that, came back to 57.1. So a hint of softening, but still getting these pretty strong readings. And then right at the end of the week, we got non-farm payrolls. And the US economy is still generating jobs at a rapid pace. So the market expected 400,000 lift in payrolls, got 428,000. And the unemployment rate, whilst it didn't come down any further, it's down at 3.6%. That's pretty low compared with where it's been over the course of the past couple of years. Average hourly earnings, slight good news in that it didn't rise quite as fast as market expectations. Market was looking for a 0.4% increase. It was up 0.3%. So as a result of that, the annual rate of wages growth came back to 5.5 from 5.6. Now, marching back to the FOMC meeting, what the Fed did was going into this meeting, there's speculation in the market that the Fed really had to get aggressive. It was so far behind in terms of reacting to inflation, which on last reading was up at 8.5% year on year. It'd probably have to do a 75 basis points, according to parts of the market. What the Fed did was, yes, it did escalate from 0.25% to a 0.5% increase in the funds rate. So it took the funds rate on the upper end of the range from 0.5% to 1% after that move. There was also an indication that they'd be taking the funds rate up further over the next couple of years on the dot point forecast from the various Fed governors, and that will be getting above 3 at some point over the course of the next couple of years. But there was a very clear message from the Fed that, they have got to deal with an inflation problem, but there won't be any supersized interest rate hikes. So 0.5% looks like being the way in which they might move over the course of the next couple of meetings, just to get that funds rate up to something over 2% by the time we get to the end of this year. So that was both good news and bad news, because the market initially took it as good news, and then immediately they see that the economy is still blistering along, and they take it as bad news and sort of start to reverse. So I think we should expect this volatility to continue for quite a while yet, because it's still this challenge: is the Fed moving fast enough to get on top of that inflation problem? This week in the US, there might be some slightly good news as far as the Fed's concerned. We get the April CPI comes out, and it looks at this stage as if the monthly increase comes out on Wednesday into Thursday morning our time. It looks as if the monthly increase came in round about, or will come in round about 0.2%. If that's the case, that would actually lower the annual inflation rate to a still pretty heady 8.1% from 8.5%. But this will be the first time that we've got the inflation rate actually starting to settle back a bit. It'll also be there with the core CPI, we think, as well. Taking out the volatile items, core CPI will probably be up around 0.4% month on month. And that would lower the annual rate to 6% from 6.5%. It's still a little hard to say whether this is the peak that we passed in US inflation, because as you can see from things like international oil prices, you know, they're starting to escalate again with the pressure in those markets. So we might be bumping along the top, but you know, we appear to have reached the peak in terms of inflation. And as we get into the later months of this year and into the first part of next year, we should pull back those annual inflation rates quite a bit. And that may have some influence in the way in which the Fed continues to move monetary policy as we go a bit further down the track, not quite as aggressive perhaps as the market's expecting now. So just watching that one just to see whether it comes out as we expect. Also, we get producer prices coming out on Thursday night in the US, and that obviously is important for what's there in the pipeline. And rather like the CPI, just coming off the top a bit. So they're looking for 0.5% month-on-month increase for the headline producer price index. If that's where it comes in, that would reduce the annual producer price inflation rate to 10.7% from 11.2%. Still very elevated, but you know, obviously now starting to show some signs of topping off and coming back. And the core PPI, market's got quite an aggressive plus 0.6% for the core PPI for the month. But that would reduce the annual rate to 8.9% from 9.2%. So, you know, the first signs perhaps this week that we bump over the top, and that might prove helpful in terms of stabilising markets a bit as we go through the course of this week. Out of China last week, it was mostly holidays in China last week, as they have a big combination of holidays in that first part of May. But they did get the private sector cakes in services sector PMI came out for the month of April. As expected, this has been hit very hard. You know, China's obviously got a very problematic response to COVID, the latest COVID outbreak, where you know, they have locked down Shanghai and you know, on the brink of doing that for Beijing as well. And so, yeah, this is going to dent economic activity in the near term. And the services sector PMI, particularly hard hit because people are locked in. And so the April reading for the Caixin survey came down to 36.2 from 42. That is a very low reading, and which is what you'd expect. You know, you'd expect that economic activity is pulling back. What China hopes to do over time is, as soon as it can, you know, allow people out again, and there's an issue about when that will be, really pump its economy with a lot of investment spending, largely through local districts and targeted. But you know, that's going to take a while before that can bite because people are locked in at the moment. This week in China, we get their export and import data. That probably is going to pull back too. And this is where, you know, China's problem with dealing with COVID becomes an international problem, because it's just extending the supply chain problem, particularly when you take out the world's biggest port, Shanghai. It's doing nothing. Yeah, this is just adding to those supply chain issues that have helped to push inflation up around the world. So watching to see what happens to their exports and imports, they're probably going to settle down quite a bit. Going back to March, exports were up 14.7% year on year, still pretty robust. That's expected to slide to only 3.2% year on year. And on the import side, that was already down below zero, minus 0.1% year on year. Going back to March, that's expected to slide further to minus 3. Could be worse than that, given what's happened with Shanghai. We also get the April CPI and producer price index. CPI inflation has been less in China, but it's still expected to accelerate a bit to 1.9% from 1.5%. Obviously, that's not problematic as far as the People's Bank of China is concerned, so yeah, they can do their part in terms of easier monetary conditions over time as well. We'd expect to see that occurring from time to time coming from the People's Bank of China, both on reserve ratio requirement and also on their interest rate settings. The producer price index, the good news for the whole world really has been that, you know, China gave us the earliest proof that, you know, we'd reached a peak. in some of these producer prices. Going back to March, we were down to 8.3% year on year. Had been 10s and 11s going back months before that. Expected to come down a bit further to 7.8%. So in some ways, the factory of the world still. Producer price inflation there is starting to show some signs of receding. Then moving to Australia. And first, just the data releases that came out last week. We had March retail sales, and that is still incredibly resilient. So we had retail sales, which were expected to lift by 0.5%, lifted by 1.6% after a 1.8% increase month on month the month before. So plenty of spending running through the Australian economy. We are seeing volatility obviously running through the housing side. Home building approvals came out for the month of March. They were up 42% year on year going back to the month of February. In March, we did get a give back on that, and they were down 18.5%. So a lot of volatility there. You know, we appear to be over the peak in terms of home building approvals, with those starting to show some signs of coming back. We had some house price data too, which shows that you've still got your weakness continuing in Sydney and also Melbourne, but still a lot of strength in many other parts of the country. And we had some trade data as well, where our trade surplus has expanded again, out to $9.3 billion trade surplus from 7.5 going back the month before. That's largely down to imports starting to fall away. They were down 5%. Exports were flat for the most recent month. So mixed bag to a degree, but still with strength running through retail sales. And then we had the RBA policy meeting and also their quarterly monetary policy statement. The policy meeting, as expected, had no option but to start to lift interest rates. The Reserve Bank has been blindsided in many ways by the way in which the local economy has been resilient. It hasn't allowed for a lot of the disruption that we've had internationally over the course of the last month or two. And some of it's where it does some talking to local businesses. It's starting to find that many local businesses now are in a position to start to lift prices, and that there is a bit more pressure running through wages than they previously thought. And so all this coalesced into them having to lift interest rates. And being the quirky institution it is, decided to drive right down the middle of forecasts. Some people thought they'd do 15 basis points. Others, like myself, thought they'd do 40. They decided to do the traditional 25, which gives us a pretty quirky cash rate of 0.35%. It's probably likely we're going to go up in 25s here, because the commentary that came from the Reserve Bank was that they recognise now that inflation has lifted. They're very late in that compared with everybody else, that it is going to be persistent, that we will see it sort of fade back a bit as we get longer term, but it is going to be pretty high in the near term. And so as a result of that, they're looking towards normalising interest rates. And given they did that 25 basis points, it looks as if it's going to be in pretty slow steps, so they can adjust that over time depending on how forecasts change. And we then got their forecasts in the quarterly monetary policy statement that came out on Friday. These are the most extraordinary changes to economic forecasts I've ever seen from the Reserve Bank. The story with the quarterly monetary policy statements over the last year, year and a half, has been a slow, gradual lift in both their forecasts of economic growth, of inflation, of wages, and reduction in unemployment rate. You know, it's been progressing slowly over the course of this past 12 to 18 months. Well, they took a hammer to the forecasts in the latest set. So just to give an example, if we went back to November last year, if we went back to February and the most recent set before the May forecasts, the peak inflation rate that they saw then, later in 2022, was 3.75%. And the peak underlying inflation rate was 3.25% before it started to drift backwards towards 3 and a bit under 3 over the next couple of years. Later set of forecasts, the 3.75% peak for the consumer price index, and remember it's only 3 months since they last produced this set of forecasts, went from 3.75% to 5.9%. And the underlying inflation forecast peak went from 3.25% to 4.6%. Now, by any measure, that's huge. And you understand why they've done it, because they've been wrong-footed on so many influences from overseas on prices, plus also the resilience of the local economy. And so not surprising that they've jumped those forecasts as much as they have. If anything, I think they've probably taken them to a point where they probably won't have to revise them any higher. In fact, there's a good chance that they may be able to revise them lower at some point. And they're longer dated forecasts too. Once you get past that peak in inflation, you do expect the annual rate to come off quite substantially on base effects. And previously, they were looking for inflation to come down to 2.75% for both the headline and the underlying inflation rate out in June 2024. Now, that 2.75% is 2.9%. Now, that's only 0.15% above what they had before, whereas they were jumping the other forecast by nearly a couple of percentage points. So it gives you some idea that they see a lot of pressure in the near term, and they've certainly got some a lower unemployment rate forecast down to 3.6% later this year. They've also lifted their wage forecast so that that runs up well and truly into the threes as we run over the course of this next year. And my feeling about it is that they've probably, if anything now, overdone this a little bit. The other thing that's worthwhile bearing in mind is that they're right in thinking that inflation's going to run ahead of wage growth. Even if we get some of these wage claims getting through over the next few months, wages are still going to lag behind the lift we've got in consumer price inflation. In other words, real wages will be constrained for quite a period ahead. Eventually they will lift, but it's going to take a bit of time. And just that constraint on real wages with interest rates going up, we will get some setback in economic growth, more so than I think they've got in their latest economic forecasts, where they've got GDP growth just powering along in the fours towards fives over the course of this next year or so. So that in turn will make a difference to the way in which interest rates move upwards. Very, very hard to predict exactly how the pattern will go over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. But my suspicion is that we'll get a few months where they raise interest rates every single meeting and by a quarter percentage point probably. And then they'll pause if they start to see something which is slipping relative to their economic forecasts. So it's still likely that the cash rate will go up at a slower pace than is in current market expectations. It will get up, but it's realistic still, I think, to expect a cash rate 1 to 1.25% by the end of this year. I should say that's 1.1 to 1. Whatever, given the way in which they've come off the base, and that we'll get into maybe the twos as we get through the course of next year. But all very dependent on the reactions we get economically to what will be happening, and that is squeezing real wages, which, as people are trying to pay bigger mortgages as well, inevitably retail spending won't be as strong as they've got in this current set of forecasts. Moving quickly to what we get this week, we won't get an awful lot of information. We've got some sentiment surveys. So we've got the NAB Business Confidence Business Conditions Survey. These are holding up pretty well. Back in March, the business confidence reading was plus 16. Zero is the expansion contraction marker in these surveys, so there's a lot more optimists and pessimists running through the survey. Business conditions are plus 18, which is actually quite a high reading. They're probably going to hold those levels running through April, even though we've got a pretty messy election going on at the moment. And also, we get just revised retail sales where they'll give us the quarter retail sales. Going back to Q4 last year, retail sales had a real blitzer. They were up 8.2% quarter on quarter. That was that period where we all came out of lockdown and just spent like there's no tomorrow and caught COVID in the process. But this quarter for the Q1 this year, some slowing, but on the monthlies, you'd have to say it's probably up another 1% on top of that 8.2%. So running pretty strongly still, running in the first quarter of this year. We'll also get some consumer sentiment survey data coming out. That tends to reflect elections, so it may be soft still with the numbers that come through there. Going to Europe, the interesting part last week, I think, is that Germany is slowly but surely coming around to accepting that it's going to have to restrict its gas and oil supplies from Russia if it's going to stay morally consistent with trying to back Ukraine against Russia. This does raise the likelihood that Germany at some point over this next year will slip into recession. It's the recession they have for making that decision. We should expect weaker economic growth at some point coming through from Europe because of the way in which they've had to lop off that key energy supply coming through from Russia. But in the near term, still getting reasonable numbers. So last week we had the April Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. It was still 55.5. It was 56.5 going back the month before, so it's still in expansionary territory, still quite strong. We got April business and consumer sentiment. It did slip, but not much, to 105 from 106.7. Still got a lot of producer price pressure running through Europe, but the ECB it's got a big inflation problem, but it's not going to react to it, because it's also got the prospect of weaker economic growth ahead. So we had the March PPI, where producer prices rose to 36.8% year-on-year from 31.5% year-on-year. These are the higher energy prices feeding through in spades. Just in 1 month, producer prices were up over 5%. They've been up over 5% month-on-month the last 2 months. Obviously, if they did that for a year, you'd be up over 60% year-on-year. So I don't think we'll get to that point, but we've still got a lot of pressure running through producer prices in Europe. The unemployment rates, the most recent month, came down to 6.8% from 6.9%, so still comparatively low. And the services sector PMI, 57.7, up from 55.6, so reasonably strong. Also in Europe, another one of those central banks that's been lifting rates, the fourth interest rate increase coming through from the Bank of England, the third coming through from the Bank of England, they're up 25 basis points to 1%. So just that consistent process, which is running internationally as well. Not a lot in the way of data out of Europe this week. It's mostly investor confidence and economic sentiment data, which will all be settling back. But this week, after that extraordinary volatility we had running through particularly equity markets last week, this week, if anything, there's a chance that things could settle a little bit, but it's very dependent on where that CPI and PPI data comes out in the US. They will be the key data readings through the course of this coming week.